Hello, baby.
The Cocktail Nation.
Anatomy of a Lounge Lothario.
Hey, baby.
I got a lot of money.
Howard, please. This is beneath
you. No, this is exactly me.
Casanova.
You are evil, Demeter.
What you call me? It's not true.
Is it joke, my darling?
Why do you men so treasure this joking so?
Do you love me?
What can I say when you ask? You shouldn't ask, you know. I'll tell you when I feel like it.
Would you like me to give you something to make you sleep?
Now, there's a good idea.
All right, then. Come with me.
Welcome to another look at the Bon Vivants, playboys and those who lived a jet-setter lifestyle, those tango pirates and just what makes them the men they are. George Hamilton. Now, he wasn't known so much for the movies he made as for the women. He's been Hollywood's patent leather lover for more than two decades, a self-described roadshow David Niven and taxi dancer of the debutante set. He dated Wendy Vanderbilt, ex-Iranian Princess Soraya, and presidential daughter Lyndon B. Johnson. On Sirius Radio, he spoke about meeting the president's daughter Waxman because of an invitation to meet the president.
I was just told that we were going to go and meet him, and I was fascinated to go and meet him in the White House, and they didn't let me meet him. They made me go and sit at a table, and I thought, this is really not nice. And then I realized that I was seated next to Lyndon Johnson, and that's why they didn't let me go in the line. And over a conversation of dinner, she said she was going to Acapulco. I was going to Acapulco. And she said, oh, my daddy doesn't want me to go down there because of the balance of payments. And I said, well, you should go. You love Mexico. Next thing I knew, we were in Mexico.
It's small wonder that small-town Texan Lyndon B. Johnson was swept off her boots by an escort who flew her to Acapulco and hired Hollywood makeup artist George Masters to prepare her to attend the 66 Academy Awards. Though widely criticized for publicity mongering in toying with the president's daughter, Hamilton for once kept discreetly silent, explaining it would be the worst possible taste for me to get into a bit of a gabble about the whole business. Now, he was a man who loved a Rolls Royce or two, mansions and women, and certainly loved the Lounge Lothario lifestyle. He said, I've always managed to get enough work to travel, court, party, play polo, entertain and ski. In an interview some years ago, he was brutally honest about his life. He said, look, I've been married, I had a child, divorced, had no real home, and I pretty much only ever really worked in the movie industry. I had no real image other than that of a playboy. Few men can express or embody the absurdity and anachronism with the charm of Hamilton. His conquests, they number in the thousands, he claims, curiously, have had few complaints. On Sirius Radio, he spoke about how important it is to dress well and to romance a woman.
And I don't know what happened. I don't know why people don't dress up anymore. I don't know why. It's something about a guy just walking in his t-shirt and so that doesn't make anything happen with a woman. Woman gets dressed up, but the guy doesn't do it. Why didn't the guy do it? There's something about all that. The whole thing, if you don't have romance around the foreplay, the act of it, it's about 15 minutes and over and goodbye and you're bored with it. If you have the romance, women's hearts, women will do anything in the world for you. They are the most amazing, way stronger than we are. But you gotta let them. And you got to give them that. You got to make it romantic for them. I would think of things like, I was working with a major film star in Mexico, and I got up at 5 in the morning, went down to the flower market, and bought all the rose petals I could get, and put them from her bed all the way down to the set. All the rest of the morning, I put them down. And the thing was that meant more to her than anything else. I would send her like a FedEx when they first came in, would just say, thinking of you. And they'd have to sign for it. Little things like that mean so much to him. I'm very old-fashioned in my way. I have really good manners. Women like that.
He's always been considered a man that women love and like. This probably could be backed up by looking at his ex-wife, Alana, who, upon their 76th divorce, received custody of their white Rolls Royce, son Ashley, $2,500 a month, their Beverly Hills home, and more than $100,000 in cash. And George insists that Alana remains his best friend. When they met in Acapulco in 1968, he recalls, we instantly disliked each other. I thought she was a snooty model, and she thought I was a crazy playboy. But sometime later, I was watching her dance in tight little pants, so I reached over and I pinched her. She slapped me, and we started going out. They married in 1972 in Vegas with Colonel Tom Parker as the best man and Elena's dog, Georgie, giving her away. Now, just what created George Hamilton, movie star, Lounge Lothario, a state acting award, and an introduction from a family friend, silent screen star Mae Murray, sent him to Hollywood in 1957. And he talked about his early days in the movies.
I started out with the theory. I was a kid in New York, and I realized that the only way to get somewhere was to create a character that people could read something into. So I went to a party. It was a very important party. I didn't have any money. And I went to a thrift shop and bought a man had died who was a diplomat to England. And he had bought all these clothes, the Duke of Windsor, from the tailor. They were all 50 years old with, you know, frayed things. And I bought this dinner jacket and this tuxedo and these tails. And everywhere I went, they thought, my God, this guy's got beautiful clothes. I created this sort of image. First day at the studio, they say to me, we're going to give you a nice Chevrolet. You're going out of contract and we're going to put you in school. And I said, it's very nice. But I said, you know, my mother, mummy, she's already given me. And I had gone out and rented a Rolls Royce that day with a chauffeur. He was a gardener. I put him, dressed him up, put him under the window. I said, that's my car. They said, holy shit, look at that car. That looks like something Greta Garbo would. I said, well, mummy had it for me, but I wouldn't mind having a newer one. And they said, well, you know, it's got salary tripled right there on the spot. They tripled my salary. That was the psychology. So in New York, when I was here, or let's say in Palm Beach, I was a movie star because they all wanted to know movie star. In L.A., I was a socialite. That was from Palm Beach. So I just created, you know, a character, and I played that character out. And it's like, I can't eat this. Immediately, they're butlers and people, you know, doing. I just presume that's the character. That's not me. I'm not that guy.
He certainly had some rather interesting tricks up his sleeve.
Well, but one of the great things that I had a little chutzpah, but I also had, you know, kind of, I'd lay back and be mellow, but I was looking to get a job. So I'd go in and find out when the studio heads were, you know, going to be in their offices instead of going through, you know, meeting them in the wrong places. I would meet them in their offices during lunch. And I went into one, and he was having a little extramarital relationship with a girl. And I heard his head pop up. He said, what is it? And I thought, well, he's taking some dictation. So I thought, I better just disappear here. And he said, what is it? What do you want? I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I saw him and the girl. Now I was implicated. I knew that, you know, they'd probably find my body somewhere. But instead, the guy says to me, what is it you need? I said, I want to talk to you about a test. He says, come back. I came back. He said, you didn't see anything today, did you? I said, not a thing. He said, you got the test. Next time, another guy who's doing the same sort of thing on his couch, studio head. I follow him all the way to south of France because I want to get in a movie. And I pretended that I was a waiter in a hotel, served him dinner while he was in bed with his girlfriend, and finally said, I was pretending to be Italian, where do you want the food? He said, put it over there and give me the check. I said, what do you want, a bottle of wine? Something beautiful? No, just give me the check. And I said, I don't have a check, it's on me. And he looks at me and says, oh God, you're that actor. I said, you said it, now why don't you let me prove it? And I got the lead in a movie called Light in the Piazza with Rossana Brazzi and Olivia de Havilland because of that. So I don't want you to think it was all just coercion and, you know, that I had to use tactics like that. It had a little bit of talent.
Now, just how did George Hamilton become the Lounge Lothario George Hamilton?
When I walked into Hollywood, everybody was Marlon Brando, James Dean. They were all kind of, you know, a very relaxed in kind of, you know, they were not well-dressed. It was a different world. But what had preceded in the 1940s were major movie stars, you know, really dressed. So I went to a photographer who had only shot those guys. And I said, shoot me like a major, you know, I want to look like a... And they did a Barrymore profile. And I was in sepia, you know, this old brown and white stuff. I only had $100, $90. And I said, how much does it cost for three pictures? And he said, it's $100. I said, well, I don't have that. I have 90, so I'll give you two. Shot me, took this old sepia paper, And it made me look like I was born in the 1920s. I took them to an agent, put it on the desk, and he said, those pictures are so out of date. Next day, the very next day, I get a call. They want me to screen test for a movie with an actress who'd been working with Marlon Brando, another actress, Marion Seldes, another. And I got the movie because of that picture, because it was different. The idea, everybody walking around with a baseball cap and a pair of jeans, we all look alike. It's cool, it's comfortable, but doesn't make you stand out. Sure, you can buy a $600, $900 pair of, you know, sneakers, but it isn't going to make you stand out. So I kind of dressed up, did all that stuff, and made it like that, you know? I think we're going to have a strange little rebirth of that without having to be, you know, dandies.
Sadly, Hollywood refused to take him seriously, you know, despite his conscientious, very professional attitude on the set. By the mid-70s, he was reduced to shilling for the Seoul Leather Council. He was charged with a minor stock fraud incident by the SEC. He's certainly a very interesting character, and the thing I love about him is the fact that he is a Lounge Lothario that is alive today that we can talk about, who lived through the golden age of Playboys, and he's still around to tell the tale. In the other series of Anatomy of a Lounge Lothario, I've been telling you stories that are often heard secondhand, you know, but here we have a man who's literally telling the story. Now, when we do Anatomy of a Lounge Lothario, at the end of it, I always like to go through what box he ticks when it comes to being a Lounge Lothario. So, great dresser, movie star, money, an ability to seduce any woman, a likability. He's certainly got charisma in spades, a little bit of a rascal, perhaps one might even say confidence man in many respects. Kind of bluffed his way to the top when you think about it. So he kind of fits the bill with people like, you know, Errol Flynn that we've spoken about and Furio Ruby Rosa, who had, you know, a bit of a con man sort of side to them, I suppose. They could charm the wheels off anything. But there's probably one little missing ingredient for George. All of the Lounge Lotharios we've spoken about have died young, pretty much, apart from Gunter Sachs. So he's kind of missing that one element. I suppose if he really wanted to completely live the ultimate Lounge Lothario lifestyle, I guess he'd probably have to go out with a bang somehow. A plane crash, a car crash, you know, the usual Playboy departure. But he probably won't. In previous interviews I've read about him, he said that his mother lived to about the age of 95, so he expects that he probably will. And he's in amazing health too. He looks great. And the tan, people often say, oh, he's that tan guy, isn't he? Yeah, he's tan, but it's actually a real tan, not a fake tan. What an interesting fellow, George Hamilton. Maybe go out and get his book. It certainly sounds rather interesting. Don't Mind If I Do is the title of the book. Thanks for joining me for another edition of Anatomy of a Lounge Lothario.